The Christian and Complete Armor by William Grinnell. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Chapter 9. Satan's stratagem to keep the Christian from prayer. Upon pretense of present indisposition of heart. Oh, but thou mayest say, it is not the sickness of the body, but the deadness of the heart, and the indisposition of the soul that keeps thee from duty. Thou wouldest fain have that in a better frame, and then thou wouldest not be so long a stranger to it. Section 1. Let me ask thee, Christian, what thou hast found in the observation of thy own heart to be the fruit that hath grown from such delays. Hath neglect of duty at one time fitted thee for it at another? I believe not. Sloth is not cured with sleep, nor laziness with idleness. If your leg be numbed, we walk, and so it wears off. Satan knows if thou playest the truant today, thou wilt go the more loth to school tomorrow. Give the flesh a little scope of this unlacing thyself, and it will endure less to be straightened afterward. There is something to do to bridle a wanton beast when he hath got the bit once out of its mouth. The spouse's coat sat very easy when on her back, and unwilling, no doubt, she will be stripped, but when once, by the will of Satan, she was persuaded to put it off, how loath was she then to get it on again, and therefore, whenever you are turning from any other duty, merely upon this account, consider well what is likely to follow. Thou wilt see thy sin and return with shame and sorrow for thy neglect. And is it not less trouble to pray now than upon such terms afterwards? A heathen could say he would not sin to buy repentancy. And shouldest not thou have more wisdom to know what is a bad bargain for thy soul? This neglect will beget another, and that a third, and so thou wilt run further in arrears with thy conscience, till at last thou givest over all thoughts of renewing thy acquaintance with God, because thou hast discontinued it so long. Section 2. Examine from whence this present indisposition comes, and probably thou wilt find reason to charge it either upon some sinful miscarriage in thy Christian course, or on thy neglect of these means through which thou art to pass into the performance of this duty. First, see whether thou hast not been tampering with some sin knowingly. There is an apathy between sinning and praying, partly from guilt, which makes the soul shy of coming into God's sight because conscious of a fault. The child that hath misspent the day in play abroad steals to bed at night for fear of a chiding from his father. Sin and prayer are such contraries that it is impossible on one stride to step from one to another. It is an ill time when the fountain is stopped or muddied to go to draw water. If the workman's tools be blunt, no work can well be done till a new edge is set on them. It is the devil's policy thus to disturb and unfit the Christian for duty, that he may leave it undone. Therefore, be it thy first care to keep the fountain of thy heart clear, remembering from it those holy affections which in prayer thou art to pour forth to God must be drawn. Look thou, lendest not any power of thy soul to be Satan's instrument in sin's folly work, lest thou find it out of order when thou art to use it in this spiritual service. A good servant will not have her dishes foul when they should be used, but clean and ready again against they are called for. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Secondly, If thou findest guilt contracted and consequently a fear to come so nigh God as this duty will bring thee, yea, an estrangement upon thy heart also from this work, thy best way is speedily to sue for pardoning mercy and purging grace. New breaches are made up better than long quarrels. New wounds are healed easier than old sores. Get thee to the throne of grace, water the earth, if thou canst, with thy tears, and fill heaven with thy sorrowful sighs for thy sin. But by no means shift off thy duty on this pretense, for that is not the way to mend the matter, but make it worse. Jonah did ill to consult his credit rather than the exaltation of God's mercy, and how he should come honorably off with his embassy, then how the name of the great God, his master, that sent him, might be magnified. But he did worse when these sinful thoughts stirred in him, which he should have humbled himself for, made him run away from his master's work also. Thus, Christian, it is ill done of thee to make a breach in thy holy course by tampering with any sin, but thou wilt commit a greater if thou turnest thy back on God also, in that ordinance where thou shouldest humble thyself for thy former sin. Can one sin be a good argument for committing another? Thou hast fallen into sin in the day, wert thou not therefore pray at night? Surely if it were better to beg of God forgiveness of this and more grace, that thou mayest not do the like tomorrow. Neglect of duty is not the way to help thee out of the pit thou art in, nor keep thee from falling into another. Take heed thou runnest not further into temptation. Now is the time for the devil to set upon thee, when thy weapon is out of thy hand. The best thou canst look for is a storm from God to bring thee back to thy work again, and the sooner it comes, the more merciful he is to thee. Section 3. If upon faithful inquiry thou findest not thy heart reproach thee with having indisposed thyself for duty by any known sin in the course of thy life, and yet thy heart continues lumpish and unfit for prayer, then probably thou wilt think thyself tardy in the actual preparation for the duty. Hast thou solemnly endeavored by suitable meditations to blow the coal of thy habitual grace, which, though not quenched by any gross sin, yet may be deadened and covered with some ashes by thy being over busy in thy worldly employments? The well is seldom so full that the water will at first pumping flow forth, neither is the heart commonly so spiritual after our best care in our worldly concourse, much less when we somewhat overdo therein, as to pour itself into God's bosom freely, without something to raise and elevate it. Yea, often the springs of grace lie so low that pumping only will not fetch the heart up to a praying frame, but arguments must be poured into the soul before the affections rise. Hence are those soliloquies and discourses which we find holy men use with their own hearts to bring them into a gracious temper, suitable for communion with God in ordinances. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Psalms 103, verse 1 and 2. It seems David either found or feared his heart would not be in so good a frame as he desired. Consequently, he redoubles his charge. He found his heart somewhat drowsy, which made him thus rouse himself. Sometimes calling and exciting the heart will not do, but the heart must be chid. So David was fain to deal with himself at another time. Psalms 42, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Heavy birds must take a run before they can get upon the wing. It is harder to get a great bill up than to ring it when it is raised, and so is it harder work to prepare our hearts for duty than to perform it when they are in some order. Now, hast thou endeavored to do this? If not, how canst thou make this pretense to waive the duty because thou art indisposed, when thou hast not used the means to have thy clog taken off? This is as if one should excuse himself for not coming to the feast upon which he was invited, because, forsooth, he was not dressed, when he never went about to make himself ready. Section 4. Perhaps thou canst answer the former question, and in some uprightness say that thou hast not neglected means, but yet thy deadness of heart remains. Though this case be not so ordinary, yet it is possible that a Christian may walk on these coals of meditation, which at one time would set his soul all on fire, and put his graces into a flame, yet at another he may find little warmth from it. And we will suppose this thy case, therefore, consider that God may and doth sometimes conceal his enlivening presence till the soul be engaged in the work. And would it not grieve thee to lose such an opportunity? How often hast thou found thyself at the entrance into a duty becalmed, as a ship which at first setting sail hath hardly wind to swell its sails while under the shore and shadow of the trees, but meets a fresh gale of wind when got into the open sea. Yea, didst thou never launch out to duty, as the apostles to sea, with the wind in thy face, as if the Spirit of God, instead of helping thee on, meant to drive thee back, and yet hast found Christ walking to thee before the duty was done, and a prosperous voyage made of it at last? Abraham saw not the ram which God hath provided for his sacrifice till he was in the mount. In the mount of prayer God is seen, even when the Christian does often go up the hill towards duty with a heavy heart, because he can as yet have no sight of him. Turn not therefore back, but go on with courage. He may be nearer than thou thinkest. In that same hour, saith Christ, it shall be given unto you. Matthew 10:19. In the day, saith David, when I cried, thou answerest me, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. Psalms 138:3. It is no more than the promise gives us security for. The way of the Lord is strength. Just as a man who at first going out on a journey feels feeble in his limbs, but the further he goes, the more strength he gathers. Truly the saints find this in God's way. Psalms 119:55-56. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night, and have kept thy law. This I had, because I kept thy precepts. His meaning is, by doing his best endeavor, he was enabled to keep thee better, and think himself so well paid for his pains that he glories in it. This I had. So the saint hath this for praying. We may observe those children in Scripture which came of barren wombs were the greatest comforts of their parents when they had them, witness Isaac, Samuel, and John. The greater deadness and barrenness thy heart lies under, and the less hope thou hast to get out of thy indisposition, the more joyful will thy quickening presence of God be to thee. The assistance that thus surprises thee beyond thy expectation will be a true Isaac, a child of joy and laughter, and a double reason is obvious why God does thus. First, from the great delight the Lord takes in pure obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice, 1 Samuel 15:22. To pray in obedience is better than barely to pray. This is the jewel in the ring of prayer. Now to pray in pure obedience is to set upon the duty where there is no visible assistance or sensible encouragement to go to do duty. Not because God puts forth his hand to lead me, but because he holds forth his precept to command me. As when a general commands his army to march, if then the soldier should stand upon terms and refuse to go except they have better clothes, their pay in hand, etc., this would not show them an obedient army. But if at the reading of their orders they break up their quarters and set out without money in their purse, clothes on their backs, leaving the whole care of themselves for these to their general, these may be said to march in obedience. Thus, when a soul, after a faithful use of means, finds his heart dead and dull, yet in obedience to the command, kneels down, through the sense of his inability is so great that he questions whether he shall have power to speak one word to God as he ought, yet hath rather be dumb and dutiful than disobedience in running away from his charge. Here is an obedient soul, and may hope to meet God in his way with that which he cannot carry with him, as the lepers who, when they went in obedience to Christ's command to show themselves to the priest, were cured by the way, though they saw nothing of it when they set out. End of chapter 9.